And you just wanted to remind everyone, it'll be, well, I don't know if I want to say the last service they'll be with us. We hope to see you again. Amen. But for now, it will be the last service that Lloyd and Ellen will be with us. I think you'll be back tonight, but last day. Hopefully, if we have a service tonight, it looks beautiful out there right now. Let's just hope it lasts. Amen. But hopefully, again, the weather will cooperate and we'll be fine for this evening. But they're going to be heading back to Kitchener. And we enjoyed having you folks here. Good to know, get to know you, and be praying for you, and praying for your ministry down there as well. Take your Bibles this morning, and we're going to be looking at our sixth message, or the sixth saying on the cross. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 19, please. John chapter 19. And again, as we looked in Sunday school this morning, I hope we have an understanding of what saying anything on the cross might be like, considering the suffering and the agony that Jesus Christ was going through. I want to look this morning at the subject of paid in full. Paid in full. I was thinking about, again, as we look back a couple of years ago, looking at getting a mortgage for the church. And, you know, we still may end up having to take a small mortgage. If that happens, I'd like to make sure I keep it small again. But debt is certainly a killer in our society today. And I think the last statistic I heard, I know down in the United States, we usually hear American statistics more than we hear Canadian statistics, but down in the States, the average family was spending 110% of their income. So, when you stop and think about it, very simply put, that means that 10% of the money that they're spending is coming from somewhere else. It's being borrowed. It has to be borrowed. Now, when we think about life, and again, life in general, we can't avoid, I don't think anyways, we can avoid borrowing money. Even in biblical times, people borrowed money. You know, we have mortgages today. I mentioned there a little while ago, there's some Christians and groups of Christians out there that say you shouldn't even take a mortgage out. You should save all your money and buy your house cash. Well, good luck. Amen. You'll need the Lord's blessing in that for sure. You'll be saving up till you're about 150 anymore. And it's certainly, you know, I think it's almost unavoidable to avoid a mortgage. But I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of us have either have debt now or have had financial debt? Maybe all of us would say yes right now. We have mortgages. We owe money here. We owe money there. And then you see the bumper sticker, I owe, it's off to work, I go. Amen? And we think about debt. We are all probably in some sort of debt, even credit card debt. Oh, I pay mine off every month. Well, that's great, but even during the month, though, you are in debt. As soon as you put a dollar on your credit card, you're in debt. I'm glad that we don't, as individuals, have the debt that a lot of countries have. In world rankings, and I'm not sure how they've ranked these, but I'm going to let you know the national debt of the top 10 ranked countries in the world. And number one, topping the list, is the United States. Their deficit, and I was looking at these numbers, and it took me a long time to decipher them. Because I don't use numbers this big very often. But it looks to me like their debt, the national debt in the United States, is $16,284,600,000,000. And that was of December 2017. And that is a long, long, long. You get writer's cramp just writing out that number. Now that means per capita, In other words, per man, woman, and child in the United States, if they wanted to pay down that debt, every person would have to pay $58,200. That's everyone, man, woman, and child. Every person in the United States is in debt $58,200 through their government. The United Kingdom is number two. Their debt is $8,475,956,000,000. And that is per capita $127,000 that every man, woman, and child in the United Kingdom are in debt. France, $5,689,745,000,000. That's $87,200 per capita. Germany, $5,398,267,000,000. And I noticed, you know, a couple husbands nudging their wives saying, see, our credit card isn't that high after all. And I think I was in Germany there, that $65,600 per person, per capita. Netherlands, now we're getting down, we're not into the trillions, $451,040,000,000. And that's $26,400 per man, woman, and child per capita. Now, Luxembourg. Has anybody ever been to Luxembourg? You've been to Luxembourg? Did they ask to borrow money when you were there? I don't know who has been running that country, but it even makes our liberal government, I think, I hope I don't get struck down for saying this, look not too bad. I said it. I'm in trouble. Luxembourg's national debt is $3,781,000,000,000. Now, you're saying, well, that's not as high as the other ones. Yeah, well, there's not as many people there. That makes the per capita, per person debt $6,968,000, $7 million per person in debt. Somebody's been making a lot of bad decisions in Luxembourg. Japan, $3,586,817,028,200 per person. Italy, $2,510,690,000,000, $42,300 per person. Ireland, $232,750,000,000. That's not too bad. $49,000 per person. Spain, $2,259,127,000,000. That's about $48,700 per person. Everybody's wondering, where's Canada? Well, praise God we didn't make the top 10 in the list. We're number 11. Our national debt, $1,931,900,000,000. And I just want to say that was pre-Trudeau. We don't know what it is today. Probably a top secret number. But that's about $52,000, $52,300 per man, woman, and child. How many of us, in order to pay these debts, again, every person would have to come up with, and I would say the average here is probably about $50,000 or $60,000 per person in most of these countries to pay off the debt. How many people here could say, you know what, I got $60,000 for me and my husband, my wife, my kids. I've got $60,000 for each one of them. Why don't we just send a check to the government and we'll just get rid of our national debt? How many people think they could do that? How many people are there out there that could say, you know what, I got enough money, I'm just going to pay off our whole country's national debt? You know, most of these numbers, when we consider how large they are, and the United Kingdom is extremely large, and that was largely due to the wars, the debt that was incurred during the wars. But we would all probably say that there's no one that we know of anyways that would be able to pay these debts down. There was a man, he called the police and he reported it. He called them up and he said, I want to report my wife's credit card has been stolen. And so the police started taking information and they said, well, we'll get on it. We'll try and catch this thief as soon as we can. He says, well, take your time. And they said, why? And he said, because the thief's spending less money than my wife did. You know, we all have a debt that's too high to pay, too high of a price. And I don't know, when we think about our debt and our sin debt, if you will, where we would rank, but we all have debt. You know, somewhere along the line, we have got to understand that not financially, but spiritually, we are bankrupt. God has given us a great gift. Look at chapter 19 and verse 30. And if you're able to, we'll stand together for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 19 and verse 30. And the Bible says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, remember our last saying on the cross, I thirst. He goes on to say, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have finished the work. God, I thank you that you have not left us alone here on this planet that is so devastated by sin and corruption. But God, Jesus Christ came and he died, and as we will see tonight, or this morning, sorry, he paid the price. Lord, we're just grateful for all that you've given us and all that you've done for us. And Father, we're just grateful and we're so thankful for what you've done. God, I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. And you may be seated. I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 18, please. Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew chapter 18, there's a story told of a man who was owed money. And he owed money. He was owed money and he owed money. And I think this story is a very good story for what we're going to see today in relation to Christ's sixth saying on the cross when he said, it is finished. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 23, the Bible says, therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment be made. And the Bible says, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. And when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sore, and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest thou not also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I have had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. And the Bible gives us this illustration, again, as I mentioned, of a man who owed money and was owed money. The Bible says that he, first of all, was brought up before his master. And he owed he owed those talents, the Bible says. And in 10,000 talents. And he fell down at his feet and he begged his master. He said, listen, give me some time. Be patient with me and I will pay you all of that money. But please, just give me some time and have mercy and compassion on me. And that the Bible says that Lord, that man, had compassion on him. And not only, listen to this, not only did he not say, listen, I'll give you a little more time. Yeah, I'll give you another year. I'll give you 5 more years or 10 more years. He didn't say that. He said, I have forgiven you that debt. In other words, you don't have to pay it anymore. It's forgiven you. It's gone. It's off the ledger. There was a guy a few years ago, back when $60,000 was a lot of money. It is a lot of money if you owe it, though. Amen? I'll never forget that. This guy goes, looks on his bank account, and checks the balance in his bank account, and he's $60,000 more in there than he was supposed to. And so he goes out and buys a car, and he goes out and he buys this, and he buys that, and bought all these things, and then the bank realizes there was a mistake and calls him up, and they said, where's that money gone? And he says, I spent it. And they said, you can't do that. And he said, yes, I can. It was your mistake. You put that money. It was a gift. I thought. Well, the police got involved, and guess what? He got charged for theft. It's still stealing. It's not your money. It was, again, whether it was accidentally put in your account or not, you can't do that. So this individual went out and he spent all that money and he was in debt. He still had to pay that money back. He had to come up with $60,000 to pay back all of that money. And this individual here, he owed 10,000 talents. And that Lord, that master that he served, had compassion on him and forgave him all of that debt. And that same forgiven servant goes out, finds somebody that owes him 100 pence. And that servant falls down at his feet and said, Lord, does the same thing that he did. Fell down at his feet and said, just please forgive me. Give me some time. Have patience on me. And I'll pay you that 100 pence. And that same guy that was forgiven the 10,000 talents, who was just forgiven all of that debt, tells this guy, not a chance. There's no way, Jose, I am forgiving you that debt. You're going to jail. I'm going to haul you before the court. You're going to give me that money. And then the master finds out what that guy just did. Drags him back before him and said, listen, I just forgave you 10,000 talents. And shouldn't you have had the same compassion upon your fellow servant who only owed you 100 pence? Now, I want us to understand something very, very important to this story here. 100 pence was about a day's wages, or about 100 days' wages, sorry. It was a reasonable debt. When I talked about debt, you know, and some of us, or maybe all of us here, have debt. We have maybe some credit cards, or maybe we have a mortgage, or maybe we have car payments. We probably all have some kind of financial debt. And when we think about debt, there's reasonable debt. 100 pence to owe somebody is a reasonable debt. It's a good loan, if you will. You know, I need to borrow 100 pence. It's not going to tax the person. It's not going to enslave the person. It's a reasonable debt that most people should be able to pay off in a reasonable amount of time. It wasn't a big deal. It was about a third of a year's wages. So you think you made $50,000 a year. Well, let's go to 60. It'd be about $20,000. So not a big deal. Well, you're saying $20,000 certainly is a big deal. Well, yeah, it is, especially if you owe it, right? So he owed about 100 pence. So a talent, on the other hand, a talent is a much bigger measurement. A talent is actually a weight. And it depends on whether or not you're weighing silver or whether or not you're weighing gold. Now, it's usually a measurement of a precious metal, like I said, silver or gold. And if you did the math, the average wage for a day for the average laborer was about 17 shekels. And it would take 20 years at 17 shekels a day, 20 years of your work, not a part of the year, $20,000 of your $60,000 yearly salary. It would take you 20 years, the average worker, to earn one talent. Now you're starting to go, preacher, this guy's going to be working for a long time to get 10,000 talents. Yes, he is. Now for all of you mathematicians out there, from this we can easily see that if it takes 20 years to earn one talent, then repaying 10,000 talents would require working for 200,000 years. You're going, preacher, I'd be dead by then. It just about kills me thinking about it. We would say, that's absurd. It would be absurd for the servant to beg for mercy and tell his king, like his master here, like he did. He says, oh, I'm going to pay everything back. There was absolutely no way that that individual could pay that debt. No way. You know, we say not in a million years. Well, not in 200,000 years. And that is figuring in that all of his money would be going to pay the debt. That's not, you know, his living expenses first. That's just all of his money. So in reality, if you were to say he could pay off take one-fifth of his income and pay the debt, the other four parts of his income would go towards living, which would be reasonable, then it would be a million years. Now, I don't know about you. The national debt of the United States is $16 trillion. I don't have that. You know, if Donald Trump, he's a little closer than I am, you know, to $16 trillion. But if he was to call me up, or let's come home here, if Justin Trudeau was to call me up and say, I want you to pay off the debt, our $1,931,000,000,000 debt, I want you to pay it off, I'd say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. There's two reasons why Jesus Christ gave this illustration. The greater reason that Jesus Christ gave this illustration is for this purpose, and that is for forgiveness amongst ourselves. What he's saying here, and again, this 10,000 talents, as I mentioned, it's an unrealistic number for any normal, average, working class person to pay off. Impossible. In a million years. It can't be done. It's something that only, if you will, royalty could pay. It's only something royalty could pay. And then Jesus Christ, here in this parable, talks about this person that owed the 100 talents, which, as I mentioned, is a reasonable debt. It's not a massive debt. It's not going to bankrupt somebody. It's something someone could pay off very easily. And what Jesus Christ, what his main purpose is here in this parable is to say that, listen, you are that servant that owes 10,000 talents, and that is exactly what God has forgiven you. Listen, when people in the Bible sin, who did they confess their sin against? God. Say, God, I've sinned against you and you alone. Not the person involved that I've wronged. I've sinned God. Listen, our sins towards God are so great. We have made so many deposits, or should I say withdrawals, you know, in our line of credit, that we've bankrupted ourselves a long time ago. We've accumulated a debt with God so high so incredibly large that we can't pay it. It's absolutely impossible. And what Christ is trying to say is that if God can forgive you, if He can forgive you that debt, that massive, enormous debt, how come we can't forgive one another, you know, one another when they step on our toes? Because really, compared to how we've sinned against God, how we sin against one another, it's really just like stepping on. It's a small, little, insignificant debt. And he says, you know, we come to God and we fall on our knees and we say, God, forgive me for what I've done. Forgive me for all of the things I've done. I haven't honored you. I've done this. I've done that. God, forgive me. And then we turn around and we can't forgive our fellow servant. We can't forgive our fellow Christian. That was Christ's primary purpose in this debt, in this illustration. But there's some other things here that we've got to realize, and I think the most important thing for us to realize is the enormity of our debt. You know, the average person in the world would probably tell you, if you were to ask them, you know what, I'm a pretty good person. You know, I haven't done too much wrong, and, you know, I think if there's a cosmic scale somewhere, my good things would outweigh my bad things, and somehow I think I would make it to heaven. And the reality of the fact is that every single person in this world, as I mentioned, we bankrupted ourselves. Every single day, we are building our debt. It's growing every day. We've been busy withdrawing from our account. We've been lying and cheating and stealing and watching things that we shouldn't watch and having wrong thoughts towards people. The list can go on and on and on. And every time we do, every time we lie or cheat or steal or have a wrong thought or fail to put God first in every situation of our life, and fail to have fellowship with God the way that we should be having fellowship with God, we are building our debt. We're owing more and more and more and more. And you know what? We reach into our pockets and we're trying to say, God, I want to pay down a little bit of my debt. But you know what? Our pockets are empty. We have got nothing to pay down the debt with. We have nothing. What are we going to do? Well, listen, if I do a good deed. But you know what? A good deed doesn't undo a debt. A debt is something that you owe somebody. And nothing can erase the debt. There's no cosmic scale, if you will. God is going to judge our works. Yes, He is. What we've done, whether they be good or whether they be bad. But there's no cosmic scale of balance. And if our good things outweigh our bad things, we're going to heaven. Because I will guarantee you, you're saying, preacher, you're so negative. I'm just telling you the truth. Our bad things are going to outweigh our good things. Amen? Same preacher, you make us sound like we're horrible. I'm talking to myself. Amen? We got to just be honest with ourselves. Same preacher, I'm having bad thoughts about you right now. Well, you better confess that. The debt that we owe the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is so high and so unfathomable that we could not even begin to pay it off, not in a million years. We couldn't. This sixth saying of Jesus Christ on the cross, it shows us that Jesus Christ has made the payment in full. When we consider Christ suffering and His agony, and when we consider all that He went through and all that He was going through and all of His earthly life and all of His earthly ministry and all of the things that He was now suffering on the cross, we might, you know, if we just look at it on the surface, think when Jesus is saying it is finished, He's only saying my suffering is over. And you know, all of my life is over, or maybe he's He's conceding defeat here, or accepting defeat and saying it's finished, that it's done. I've lost. I'm about to die. It's over. But that is not what he's saying. And that's not what he's saying at all. Christ in his agony, and again, at the very moment of death, because the Bible says here that when he spoke, he gave up the ghost. He had time for one more saying that we'll look at next week. But death was imminent. It was there. He knew he was about to succumb. The Greek word, and in our Bibles here, these words, these sayings, this saying of Christ on the cross, it is finished, is three words. But in the Greek language, it is one word. It comes from one word. Now that one word is teletastia. And this word teletastia was a commonly used word in the Greek culture and in the day. And generally and most commonly, this word was found. Have you ever gone down to a place where you owed some money, whether it was your tax bill or maybe you owed a store some money? They had done some work on your car and they bring you out your bill, and you've gone and you've paid your taxes and your bills there, and the little lady takes that rubber stamp out and she stamps your bill, and it says on there, paid in full. Amen. You've been there. Well, you know, back in the times of Christ, when you went down and you paid your taxes, you brought your tax bill down and you paid it off, that individual would they didn't have rubber stamps back then, but they took out their ballpoint pen and they would write, paid in full. Teletastia. It is finished. Jesus Christ paid our sin debt. Amen. What Jesus wasn't saying in defeat, well, he wasn't saying, my life is finished, I've been defeated. Rather, it was a final cry of triumph. The payment had been made. The bill has been paid in full. Every sin has been paid for. Every sin, every deposit or story withdrawal that we've ever made from the account, all the covetousness, adultery, blasphemy, drunkenness, extortion, envy, fornication, greed, hatred, idolatry, jealousy, kidnapping, lying, murder, pride, nakedness, oppression, quarreling, rape, sodomy, violence, and witchcraft have all been paid for. Praise God. I was getting ready for church this morning, and I knew what my final illustration was going to be here in closing, and it's about a Scotsman. And I thought, well, I had my little tam, you know, my little Scottish tartan tam that I got from my grandfather, I believe, with a little pom-pom on the top. It's a genuine, good old Scottish, made in Scotland tam. I was going to wear it for the illustration, but Kyle laughed at me and said I shouldn't do it, so I didn't. Robert Bruce was a Scotsman in the 14th century, and he was leading his men in a battle trying to gain independence for Scotland from Great Britain or from England. And near the end of the conflict, the English wanted to capture Bruce and to keep him from the Scottish crown. They had put his own bloodhounds on his trail. When the bloodhounds got close, Bruce could hear their baying. And his attendants said, we're done for, they're on our trail, and they will reveal your hiding place. Robert Bruce replied, it's all right. Then he headed for a stream that flowed through the forest. He plunged in and waded upstream for a short distance. And when he came out on the other bank, he was in the depths of the forest. And within minutes, the hounds, tracing their own master's steps, came to the bank where he had gone in. But they went no further. The English soldiers urged them on, but the trail was broken. The stream had carried away their scent. A short time later, the crown of Scotland rested on the head of Robert Bruce. The memory of our sins, prodded on by Satan, can be like those baying dogs, but a flowing stream red with the crimson blood of God's own Son. By grace, through faith, we are safe. No hounds can touch us. The trail is broken by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And our sins have been forgiven. We sing the song, a cleansing stream, I see, I see. I plunge and oh, it cleanseth me. Praise the Lord, it cleanseth me. Jesus uttered these words, it is finished. The payment was made in full. And if we as hell-deserving sinners can come by faith to God through Jesus Christ, our sins will be forgiven, our sins will be cleansed, the trail will be ended and broken. And we will one day reign with God in His millennial kingdom. Folks, when we stop and think about the debt that we owe, 10,000 talents, a debt that none of us can pay ever, ever in a million lifetimes, yet Jesus Christ was willing to go to the cross and suffer the agony and the pain as the sins and the judgment of the sins of the world and the judgment of God was poured upon Him. I think we can praise God. Amen. If you're here and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, do that this morning. Say, well, preacher, I've been trying to pay it myself. I've been doing good deeds. I've been thinking I've been good enough. I've been thinking I can do it myself. Listen, you can't, folks. You can't do it yourself. Jesus Christ has stamped the sin debt, and it says it's paid in full. You just got to accept this payment. Amen. Put your faith and trust in what Christ has done. And for Christians today, I think there's something wrong if we can't rejoice in what we've heard today. Amen? Just praise God for what He's done. Father, we thank You for this glorious truth that we've seen this morning. A truth, Lord, that condescends time and has gone into the uttermost parts of the world, all men, in all places, in all times, that Jesus Christ has paid the sin debt, and that we can now receive that forgiveness if we only ask for it. And Father, I pray if there's somebody here, maybe they know in their heart they're not saved. Their sins have never been paid for. Someone is going to pay, either we're going to accept Jesus' payment or we will pay. We will pay the torments of hell for all of eternity. And I pray, God, if there's someone who's never accepted that, God, that they would do that today. They would accept what Jesus Christ has done for them. And for us Christians, Lord, those that are saved, Lord, I pray that we would do what we can to get that wonderful, glorious news of a pardon for the debt of sin and the sins of the world for each person that's ever come into this world, that we would do our part in sharing that good news and just rejoice in what you've done for us. Father, thank you. And as we have this altar call, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open for what you would speak to them about today. And again, if there's somebody here that's not saved, I pray that they would come. Just come down to this old-fashioned altar. We'll have somebody take the Bible. Show them how to be saved, Lord. Just work for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing.